I've heard about your good meeting during the week. I had the joy of having some of your ministers come and visit me, my home, and Brother Matt Sanger and Brother Hunt, Brother Nobles, Brother Joe Bright came yesterday afternoon. I had the joy of having Brother Denver Hollingsworth and Brother Harvey Deal from Statesboro come and visit with us. We enjoyed very much. We had prayer in our home. Elder Metzinger had prayer for us. We appreciate it very much. I promised Brother Bright a few weeks ago, if I was able, that I would try to come and be with you today. But I assure you that I'm going to be considerate of his time and get out of his way as quickly as possible. I know you want to hear your pastor, and I do too. But since for the last two or three days, the book of Ruth has been upon my mind, and I've read it through the four chapters of the book of Ruth. And I think that there is as much contained, probably, in this little one book of four chapters as there is in all the rest of the Bible put together. First of all, we find that there was a couple, Elimelech and his wife, Naomi, had become discouraged in the land of Bethlehem, Judea, because there was a drought in the land, and they decided that they would seek rest or satisfaction somewhere else. And so they left the land of Bethlehem, Judea, and went down into the land of Moab. And there they met with much disappointment, and much sorrow, and much grief. If you recall, Naomi and Elimelech had two sons, and they married wives down the land of Moab, and they lost, Naomi lost her husband, she lost both of her sons, and yet inherited two daughter-in-laws. And the first point I think that we find in this, that it matters not how great a drought there may be. I think Bethlehem, Judea, is figurative or typical of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It matters not how great a drought there might be in the church, and how much we might become discouraged. There's no other place to go but to stick with it. Stay in it. It's dangerous when we seek rest and refuge anywhere else except the Church of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And Naomi become convinced of this after losing her husband and after losing both her son-in-laws. She found that it was better back in Bethlehem or in the land of Judah than it was in the land of Moab. And so she made up her mind to return back. And of course, you know the story about Ruth and Naomi. I mean Ruth and Orpah. And Orpah, I think, had the same opportunity to have gone on with Naomi as Ruth did. But for some cause or other, she You know, you've always heard the old adage that procrastination is the thief of time. And instead of Ophir going on with Naomi back into the land of Judah, she returned back to the place of her father. Naomi told him, says, I don't have any other sons. I'm too old to bear more sons. And if I, God were to bless me with other sons, you wouldn't wait for them for husbands. And so return back to your native land. And Ophir returned. And it is said that she returned back to her father's house and her idols. My friends, we should not have any other idols. We should not have any other God besides our blessed Savior, who left the shining courts of glory and came into this world. We certainly should not set up other gods, because that's what happened to the Israelites. They wanted another king. God had been their king. God had been their refuge, and God had been their strength. But they wanted a king like other nations, and God granted their request and gave them Saul. But it was a source of sorrow, it was a source of heartaches and pain for the rest of the life of the Israelites, so long as Saul was their king. What I'm saying is this, that we have a king. We have a great high priest. We have a Savior who has loved us, has loved his people, and has cared for them. He led them out from under the Egyptian bondage. He opened the Red Sea and cared for them in the wilderness. And finally, Joshua led the ones that was left that had not died in the wilderness into the land of Canaan. And as I said, what I am saying is simply this, that the church is the safest place, regardless of how much we might become discouraged. Amen. Or how much we might feel that we might find refuge somewhere else. I've never had no desire to go back and leave the church since God blessed me with the privilege to be united with the church. I've always found it the safest place. And so Ruth said to her, says, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. Ruth went on with Naomi. She says, where thou livest, I'll live. Where thou diest, I want to die. Where thou art buried, I'll be buried, and thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. That has been my desire, my meat, and my drink, to be associated with God's people. And when my time comes to leave this world, I want to be buried with those who I have fellowshipped with, those who I have loved, and those who I believe has loved me and prayed for me and cared for me when I could not care for myself. I have found the church to be a great mother to me. Amen. And a great place of refuge. And so Ruth goes on. But the next point I want to bring up is simply this, that when Ruth had come to the land of Bethlehem, Judea, that she wanted to work in the fields. She wanted to labor. She wanted to help support Naomi, her mother-in-law. And so she goes out into the field, and she, as it so happened, she lights in a field of a very dear kinsman of Naomi and the family. And when she lights in that field, there is a point that I want to bring to your attention that it is, I think, the identity of the church is so beautifully set forth in this book. When Naomi told her, says, "Be," and Boaz told her, says, "Go not into any other field except the field of the kinsman." Boaz, of course, as you know, later on became her husband. What I'm saying is this, that she not only wanted to be with Naomi, but she wanted to help support her. And God's people should not only want to be members of the church and love the church, but they should want to help to support the church. Amen. Not only with their bodies, but everything that God has blessed them with here in the world. And so she goes into this field, and she asks that she might glean behind the reapers. It shows the humbleness and the love that Ruth the unworthiness that she felt to be in that field. She did not feel that she was worthy to glean among the reapers, but to glean behind them, follow them, and what was left, that she was like the Phoenician woman that said, when the Savior said to her, that it's not meet to give the children's bread unto dogs. But she says, "Yea, Lord, but the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." Amen. Ruth seemed to be satisfied to eat the crumbs and to pick up the little sheaves that was left behind the reapers. But, my friends, that is not God's way of doing business.
Amen.
God intends for His children to share and share alike in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Boaz instructed his maidens, or that is, his servants, his reapers. Of course, they returned in the very beginning of the barley harvest, and he told them, says, "Let handfuls fall on purpose." Let me tell you this, that it is the duty of God's servants to not only feed the members of the church, but to feed those who love the church, and to drop handfuls here and there, because that is what brings them into the interest of the church, and that's what causes them to want to join. And so Boaz cautioned his servants. He says, "Don't touch this maiden." So let her come right up in the midst of you and glean right in the midst of where you are and be with you and get a full meal. And you remember, my friends, that after she had gleaned in the field, and as I said, it points out to me the identity of the church, that there is but one church, because she was instructed to go into no other field but the field of Boaz. And so we are to go into the field of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the church that He has set up here in the world. And after she had gleaned, of course, you remember that Boaz gave her 6 measures of barley, told her to spread her veil, and he gave her 6 measures of barley. And she returned home to Naomi, and Naomi asked her where she had gleaned, and she told him. And of course, this was the very beginning of the joys and happiness that await God's children along life's uneven pathway. So she took it home, and of course she shared it with Naomi, and of course She labored in the field from morning till night, and drank at the same table, ate at the same table with the reapers, drank out of the same vessels, and shared alike. But my friend, as I said, this is the very beginning. And when God's children come home to the church, when they make up their mind to follow the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, when they make up their mind to give their all in the service of God, when they make up their minds that they'll help support it, and that they'll make it first in their lives, it is just the beginning of the joys that comes to God's children here in the world. And time would not permit me to go on with the story, but I would like to mention this, that Ruth lay at the feet of Boaz. Do you remember Mary, after the Lord had raised Lazarus from the dead? She was so happy and loved the Lord so much that she took the greatest possession that she ever had, which was a box of very costly ointment, and anointed his feet with the ointment, and wiped him with the, and bathed his feet with the tears from her eyes, and dried him with the hair of her head, showing that she got down just as low as she could. And of course, Ruth lay at the feet of Boaz that night, and the next morning she rose early before the break of day. And the time come after a while that there must be a reckoning, that she must be fully provided for. And so Boaz, she had a kinsman that was closer even than Boaz, and he gave him the opportunity to purchase her possession and purchase Naomi's perfection. And Boaz told him, says, now the one that purchases Naomi's possession must also purchase Ruth, that the name of her son might be kept alive. And he first said that he would buy the possession, but after a while he said, I can't buy it without spoiling my own inheritance. I have felt, my friends, that that was a figure of the law, that they could not purchase God's children without spoiling their own inheritance, because it is based upon works and it is based upon the action of man. And so he finally said, I can't buy it without spoiling my own inheritance. And so Boaz said, well, says, if you can't buy it, I will. And so he bought it and paid for it. And it was a custom then. He called witnesses. He called 10 men to witness the deal. And it was a custom in those days that when a covenant was made, that they would pull off their shoe and give it to the one whom they made the covenant with. And Boaz pulled off his shoe and gave it to the one who was to purchase the inheritance. You know the story afterwards. She became the bride of Boaz and enjoyed the great riches and enjoyed the great blessings. And though you might have enjoyed the services this week and the preaching of the gospel, my friends, this is just a part of the meal. This is just a part of what is in store for you. After a while, there is going to be a marriage to take place. There is going to be a union between Christ. In reality, we are a spouse to Christ now, but in the glorious resurrection morning, amen, then we will be married to our Savior. There we will enter in to the full inheritance of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and enjoy all the blessings that our Savior possesses. So I say to you that it matters not how great the drought may be or what the circumstances may be. You're still better off to continue on in the service of the Lord. That's the reason why the wise man Solomon said, and I'd like to, as I look over here to my left and see these pews full of these young people, I'm reminded of what Solomon said when he says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." My friends, our days are few on this earth. They're like a weaver shuttle. They're like a story that is already told. We don't have long to serve our Lord, and so we need to make the very best of it we can. We need to come into the church as early in life as we can and make the full benefits of it while we're able to work, while we're able to serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because He tells us in the 12th chapter of the book of Proverbs, He points out the story of people growing old when they no longer can enjoy the services. As I lay on my bed last, the hospital bed, or last weekend, and thought of the meetings in different places, my heart was made to bleed. But I'm thankful of one thing, that almost 67 years ago, I made up my mind to travel with God's people. I made many mistakes. My path has been wayward, but I haven't got tired of it yet. And I want to live with you. I want to die with you. And I want to be buried with you. And in the glorious resurrection morning, I want to come out of that grave with you and there say farewell, vain world. I'm going home. My Savior smiles and bid me come there to be with Him. Brethren, it's not such a great thing to die. You remember what the Lord told Moses, that no man can see my face and live. I've gone to the place in my afflictions. If it takes death to see Him, let it come. Only give me grace to be reconciled. I want to see Him. I want to be with Him. And as Ruth, enjoy the full benefits of the inheritance of His riches and His blessings while the ages of eternity roll on and on. I'm happy to be with you and see you once more in this old world. I don't know what is in the future for me. This could very well be the last time that I'll ever be with you. But if it is, my hope is that if I never see you again in this world, if we never meet again in this world, we hope to meet in that glory world where there Christ will be our all in all, and we'll really then know what He accomplished for us. Amen. And appreciate it and be able to praise Him in perfection. I hail you happy in the Lord. May God bless you in my prayer for Christ's sake.
Amen. 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 Amen.